This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome back to Cheer Up, the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this epic cheerleading and dance podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, you name it, we're on their streaming platforms as well. Spotify, RSS.com, Apple Music, all of that good stuff. This episode is going to be completely different. I'm going to pass over to Jane.
Hello. Well, we are going to be doing something completely different on this episode. As we've talked about in previous episodes, we've said that it's not just our opinion that we're talking about. We've gone into the emails from Cheer Up the Podcast. We've looked at comments from the social media platform, and we've tried to cover topics. But we wanted to get more interactive, didn't we? We didn't want it just to be like us two talking about the industry. So we wanted to become a little bit more interactive with you guys. So this particular episode, we are going to be dropping bomb questions to see what the reaction is, so that we've got a more, what's the word
understanding.
I'm looking for? I think a bigger overview picture from different people's opinions from, then that will help us research if you're giving us input from the TikToks or from the social media or you're emailing in. But we're also getting a conversation started within the platform.
Yep.
And then we can come back to that and say, you know, these are some of the things that have been, you know, been said. This one went wild. So this must be a really hot topic. So we're going to start off with a particular hot topic at the minute, which is, do you feel as though stunting is, and technique is not being taught because we're trying to hit a score sheet? Now, what has been a bit of a hot topic at the moment is the new Rubik that's come out. So it's kind of encouraging
for my team of 12, I have to have everybody
up.
Yeah.
And the numbers are really low. So it's going to encourage, for me, a lack of safety.
Yeah.
And I always thought the score sheets were always derived for
safety.
Now, to me, we're going to be getting skills where they're going to be putting them up because people want to hit the whole point of the game is to hit the maximum score sheet. And the new, what are your opinions on the new Rubik? put your comments below. What are your opinions on the new rubric? Do you think it's a good idea? What are the positives? What are the negatives? And then on the next filming episodes, we are going to get somebody in. Yeah. So if you want to come on the show and talk about the new score sheet, then please get in contact with us, because I don't feel as though I'm... Back in the day, I would have known that score sheet, but I don't feel knowledgeable enough
to actually have a dedicated discuss coach,
that
yeah.
now, because I'm not in the industry in that way. However, enough to know that when, you know, I still chat with Nessa over things, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, what? What's that? why would anybody want to put this in? I am in disagreement of it openly.
So am I.
So I think it's going to cause a lot of problems.
It affects smaller clubs.
So do you feel, we already see, don't we, at competitions, dodgy stunts going up and technique being compromised because of hitting a score sheet. So there's the first question.
Well, that was like two questions.
Yeah. It's not. It's around the safety aspect, isn't it? It is around the safety aspect. Do you feel as though technique should be brought in more and less about like the quality and discussing with the team, this is the quality, this is where we're starting. We're not going out to win, we're going out to improve and to get, and this, you know, that challenging mindset around the sport, because there's only one team that can win. And then there's also got your progressive teams. It's about how do you get that, you know, across. Yeah.
My question is bids related, because I love the bid topic, don't
I? Gosh, you do.
Do you feel that the UK industry is swamped by bids? Being a compere and doing awards, I actually see coaches and athletes' faces when they win a bid, but also when they don't win a bid. Their faces are so disheartened to the point it nearly drives me to tears, because the industry is so revolved around bids and going to America that kids feel entitled they need a bid. And cheer's not all about going to America. It's about the journey and the process and learning skills and meeting friends and creating friendships for life and skills for life inside and outside of cheer. So actually being stood on the competition mat, reading out bids and seeing the disheartened faces melts my heart every time. It's just so upsetting to see, because kids are literally like, including my own, but it's the way the industry is. So how do you feel about that, folks?
I totally agree. Totally agree with that. I mean, I'm completely out of the industry now, so I can be a little bit more outspoken in that. Mm. But I do feel as though the bids have absolutely destroyed the industry. I feel as though that's where a lot of the negativity has come in. Like, oh, we've got this, we've got that, we've got the other. And for me, it's the financial implications for the parents. You know, that level of taking young teams, as we've talked about in previous episodes, taking like younger teams, it's great to give kids an experience. That is a wonderful thing, to give children experiences outside, you know, of their environment, and to progress them in a sport and to give them a vision and to give them something to work for. But, you know, we're living in quite hard times.
Yeah.
And that could bring us on to the next question. Have you done your question? Is your question finished?
I've got one after this, but you can go.
Well, my question is, should there be more, would you like to see an event in the UK? Which is, like, we know we've got Battle of the Champions with ICC, but not all the teams go to that. And that's like a free event if you do ICC events. I know we've talked about it in previous episodes, and this is almost like, as well, go and look at our previous episodes, because these are things that we talk about. But this is more around us dropping the questions and you getting more interactive with us so that we can talk about things a little bit more in depth and get a more rounded view of different people's perceptions on the industry. But do you feel as though you'd like to see a bid in the UK, or would you like to see worlds, not just in America, would you like to see worlds in different places, worlds? Like,
I mean,
the Olympics,
they have like the European Summit and stuff like that, but still
we have
worlds.
We have Olympics, which, you know.
Well, the Olympics is every 4 years, so maybe we should move worlds every 2 years or something.
I think, you know, I don't think that'd be
a bad idea.
I don't think that'd be a bad idea. It would be for people's finances, yeah, working it, yeah, the business at the end of the day. Yeah. But I do think that could be something. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to see Sport Cheer England, Sport Cheer, you know, UK do something,
yeah,
like Wales, England, Scotland,
and we'll be a compass for it.
Come together, and if you know, if you're part, yeah, of sport, you know, if you're part, if you've registered and your club is supporting that, to some of that money could go into, yeah, a competition.
My next question is: this is right up your avenue, right up your avenue. Do you think that the industry in dance needs more, I want to say, well, yes, qualified and knowledgeable judges?
Amen.
When it comes to dance.
Amen.
She's like, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because Jane said in the past when she went to the movie and all these big expeditions, they've literally put these judges out and they've said they're extensive of what they've done, like that they just list what they've done, what they choreographed films, dance things. They've literally, when it comes to our dance judges,
I think we've got some good dance. There's some good.
Oh, they're really, really
there
good.
There are some good, but dance very judges short out there. But we do have a shortage of judges, yeah, within the industry, and I do think, again, that comes down to education,
yeah,
and the platform, which has just lit a little light bulb up for my next question.
Yeah, somebody actually emailed in, to be fair, about hip hop. I don't actually have the email because I've not got my phone with me, but I'll ask them if I can publish it. And it's actually quite a good read about hip hop and its culture.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
just going to leave that one there.
Yeah. And I had that trigger, but this is what my brain does now. It's gone. What was that? What did I say
before? You had a light bulb.
Education.
Education.
Education within the industry, I believe, needs to be more thorough. You can do a 3-day course and go out and be.
Well, I did.
A cheerleading coach. Or a dance, yeah, you know, or a dance coach. My background was dance. Yeah. I was a dance teacher, so I'd done dance from the age of 3 up, you know, and I'd done technical dance and I'd been in shows and I'd got an extensive background. And when I went into cheerleading, when one of the coaches left, I had to do this course. And I remember thinking, I actually don't even know how to coach forward roll. It was a skill. And I did a course. The course was good. Don't get me wrong. The course was good. But because I come from such a technical mindset from dance, I felt like I needed a bit more extensive training around that. I think the industry is just so fast-paced,
yeah,
as well. But
fast cheer.
It is. It's fast track. Everything is fast track. But I do think it would be wise great to see more CPD training, more training throughout the year for safe practice.
Yeah.
And that would be, whether that would be via video, you know, whether that could be, there's a business idea for somebody, and if you get it, then it was mine. I want a percentage on it. But technique, I mean, if you want technique in this country, you need to watch Bear Grylls, his TikTok and socials. And he's a great advocate for safety. And his tumble techniques are just second to none. He's great. But I do think that's something that we need to look at, is the educational system around our sport. And not just for that, but like for our judges as well. Because if you are a dance teacher and you're coming to an event and you've got a cheer coach who is giving you feedback, yeah, they've got a good eye on one thing or another, but like I said, it's getting better, but it needs to step up
yeah
for dance judges.
I remember when I first set up my club, I was like, so what do I need? I've never run a business in my whole entire life. I've got the worst grades ever. And it was literally, I did one course, got qualified all the way to level 5, which is now 6. And then I was like, oh, okay, is that it? Is that pretty much it for qualifications? Right, I'll do all the stuff that I need for my business side of stuff, which is more extensive, like obviously opening a business account and having insurance and doing all that side. That was lengthy, but on the cheer qualification side, it was literally one weekend and I was qualified. I was like...
Exactly. I've run lots of different businesses over the years, which you know... I know I do get a lot of people come to me to ask me for advice around setting... a limited company up or a community interest company. I'm no expert, but I've got experience as in because I've lived that experience. Mm-hmm. That's all. And what's right for people. And I have done a lot of courses and tried to expand my knowledge. So because there's so much to do and that's being a gym owner, you've got to make sure that you're getting everything covered. And if you haven't, and that could be an oversight. You've got to make sure that you're trying to cover everything you possibly can. But I do think it would be helpful to see more education, like say around the business side, maybe that could be CPD. I mean, Rachel Lynch does a lot of that with the CEO. That is a great program. But again, that program has got to invest in that. So when people are complaining about the fees and how expensive it is, these fees should be tied into your business plan. So that business plan creates a space that your coaches are getting like educated. Because when I ran Tycoons, I've always, and they still do, we ran an in-house program for training. Because I really value education. And that wouldn't be just for how to coach a forward walkover or how to do, you know, a forward roll or a stunt. That would be about leadership. How do you motivate within your session around having different needs within a class? Because you're basically like a teacher, you've got different learning styles of kids that come in, and trying to cater for all of those needs. A cheer gym owner or a coach is not just somebody where they come in and they coach it and then they've gone home. These people are passionate and they genuinely care about the kids that they've got on their team, and they want to do the best they can. So we always did an in-house program. And when I went to one of the event producers to say, we need to go in warm up and this is the training they've got, because it wasn't a certain brand, it wasn't classed as a qualification.
Right.
So I think there needs to be more clarity around education and governing bodies.
Amen to that. That was a right off spiel, wasn't it, love?
Education is one of my things around
I completely agree. I think you can literally go to an EP, get a grade, and you're pretty much ready to rock and roll. It needs to be more like, obviously, gymnastics. You've got to do so much. So much you've got to do through the levels and stuff like that. I remember going for my certification for like level 1, I think it was, in gymnastics, which was like basic stuff, like forward rolls and stuff. I was like, this is long. And I've not used it really. Well, I have, but
I think most people are conscientious and want to do that. But I do think that is a very grey area in our industry. And needs picking up on.
100%. I think we should have a cheer up education system. Just saying.
On everything else, but
I think we need our own EP. Oh God, no, we're too busy people for that. My next question would be. Do you know, this is such a random question, but uniforms. How do you feel about your uniforms? There's so many good uniforms out there, but also the safety aspects of them. Because some uniforms are that rhinestone, it actually scratches you.
Does it?
Yeah, it actually scratches you. Like, we have one called Platinum Elite, and it's got rhinestones all up the arms and stuff. And when you're catching the girls, it literally cuts them.
Does it?
Yeah, they're that sharp. So safety on uniforms. I mean, I love a sparkly uniform, but is some spackle too much? Like, what's your thoughts on uniforms? I mean, they're a great asset to your team. That obviously, it's your colours, it's your uniform, it's what you go compete in. But yeah, that's my question on that. What do you feel about uniforms?
I remember years ago about the controversial thing about kiddies wearing crop tops and having the bellies out.
Yeah.
That was quite a thing, and that became a rule that they had to be covered up.
Covered now,
Which that would be a very interesting question to hear people's views around that, because it's a discussion that is a sociable, like a social question. Like, for an instance, you know, you should be able to just dress how you want to dress without it being looked at in a negative way. But as a woman, for instance, when we walk out, we generally have to be vigilant.
Yeah.
So I was just walking through a park the other day and there was lots of bushes. So as a woman, you're always like looking out.
Yeah.
And of, you know, stranger danger and all of those different things. And it's interesting to think that a lovely little blingy costume with a little crop top and everything out, the kids are love it, living life, that this rule's been implemented because they look sexual.
Yeah.
And they're 4.
Yeah.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in a cheer uniform. So they should just be able to wear what they want without that. But that's not society what we live in.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, and it's always a minority that create these topics where we have to cover. So
obviously it came into international.
Yeah.
That's when it came into play. If you was international, you had to cover up your stomach and stuff like that. I mean, it's not that. It's just mesh now, isn't it?
It's just mesh, but, you know, it's an interesting topic, so we could like to know your opinions on that.
And that sums up this episode, I think, Jane.
It does.
Thank you so much for listening to us. We wanted to hear from you guys, so thank you so much for tuning in and watching us. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RSS.com, and social media for that quick clicking content.
Yes. And if you're we've had a lot of people tell us that they're watching us on TikTok, but then you're getting small clips, and we do have clickbait on there. So that's the whole intention, is to give you clickbait so that you'll go and watch the full episode, where you'll get a better overview of a topic. And if you want to know more about that, and it's not just the clickbait, go and find out and watch us on YouTube. So you can see the more in-depth conversation. So the TikTok is to hopefully get you over to our platform to watch the full episodes on YouTube, because they are educational based. And that was the whole point for this.
Amen to that, Jane. I've been Theo Main.
And I've been Jane Valentine.
See you on the next episode.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.